from XT and Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, the discussion about Pacific halibut quota is centered in D.C. right now. There's still a lot for regulators to work out before the halibut season opens at the end of March. Also, the cut to Pacific cod quota this year has been rough for many fishermen. KMXT chatted with one vessel owner based out of the city of Kodiak and talked about how he's handling the season. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
The halibut season begins at the end of March, and the organization that decides on quotas in American and Canadian waters is in disagreement about what the quotas might be. The American side of the International Pacific Halibut Commission has therefore decided to determine its own catch limits for the United States. The discussion is now ongoing in Washington, D.C. Heather McCarty, who previously served as the Kodiak fisheries analyst, gave KMXT a rundown on the situation.
At the IPHC, International Pacific Halibut Commission meeting, the annual meeting in January, is where the Canadians and the U.S. decide on the catch limits for each one of the management areas. There's a management area off of Washington State, there's one off of Canada, and then the rest of the management areas are off of Alaska. And normally they reach an agreement on those catch limits for each area separately, each area separate. The Canadians this year refused to agree to the U.S. commissioner's recommendations because they don't agree with the way that the coastwide stock is apportioned, split up amongst the management areas. They don't agree with the process, the method that's being used. They haven't for a number of years, 5 to 10 years, they haven't agreed with that method of apportionment. And so they refused to vote for the American commissioner's recommendations for the U.S. management areas. And they held pretty firm to that. The U.S. commissioners refused to vote for the Canadian management area, the one management area off of Canada. They refused to vote for what the Canadian commissioners wanted there because they believed that it was too high from a conservation standpoint. So the commissioners didn't reach agreement on the numbers. Normally, the IPHC commissioners reach agreement, and then those numbers for the U.S. management areas go to the National Marine Fisheries Service for making into actual fishing regulations. And the Canadian number for their management area goes to the Canadian Federal Fisheries Management Group for making into their regulation for Canada. So since there was no agreement, one of two things could happen. This is a treaty between Canada and the U.S. By treaty, if no agreement is reached, then it reverts back to the numbers, the catch limits from the year before. However, since there was a recommended drop in the catch limits coastwide because of the coastwide decline in the stock assessment for halibut, since there was a drop from 2017 to 2018, the U.S. commissioners believed that it wasn't appropriate to go back to the 2017 numbers because they were too high and they would pose a threat to the stock of halibut. So the U.S. commissioners proposed numbers for the U.S. management areas, which is, again, off of Washington and Alaska. They proposed numbers there that were a significant drop from the 2017 numbers. Those numbers that they recommended then went to the National Marine Fisheries Service, who was faced with putting together a rule. They call it rulemaking, where they put regulations in place that actually rule the fishery in the United States waters, or the waters off Alaska and Washington. So that's what's happening right now. The National Marine Fisheries Service in Washington, D.C. is working on, they call it promulgating regulations based on the recommended numbers by the U.S. commissioners at the IPHC. They put forward these recommended numbers for all these management areas, and that's the numbers that were given to the National Marine Fisheries Service to make into an actual fishing regulation. And so the rulemaking that's taking place through the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is the Department of Commerce, as you know, is being reviewed by the Department of State as well in D.C. at the upper levels there. So that's where it is. It's, you know, being reviewed by NOAA General Counsel for the National Marine Fisheries Service and then the Department of State process, which I'm not familiar with, but they're involved as well, again, because it's an international fishing treaty.
That was fisheries analyst Heather McCarty talking about the status of halibut quotas in Washington, D.C.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported, in part, by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the show online anytime at kmxt.org.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A new study in Kodiak will hopefully shed some light on what Pacific cod go through when they're young.
We don't know how they do in the winter, where they are, what they're eating, what their energetic requirements are.
Mike Litzau is a researcher for the University of Alaska Fairbanks based in Kodiak and is one of the leaders of the project. He says the recent crash in the Pacific cod population in the Gulf of Alaska was a wake-up call that there's a lot to be learned about the early life stages of Pacific cod. A few years ago, a body of warm water settled in the Gulf, and it may have made it difficult for juvenile cod to survive.
The operating hypothesis right now is that you can warm the temperatures up and they'll survive if there's enough food, but that there wasn't enough food to meet those requirements.
The National Marine Fisheries Service, according to Litzau, recently found that the Pacific cod population had dropped by about 60% since 2015. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council reduced the amount of Pacific cod that can be caught by commercial fishermen in the Gulf of Alaska by about 80% because of the crash. The decrease in cod will be hard for Kodiak fishermen because Pacific cod is one of the bigger fisheries in the region. Litzau believes Kodiak has to face the possibility that more fishery disasters could be in the future because of climate change.
So as we think in the, you know, in coming years and decades for Kodiak, we have to think about there being more events like this and more sort of unusual temperatures and more surprises like the pink salmon return in 2016 or this cod collapse.
Litzau hopes his research will help Kodiak adapt to a changing marine environment. It's a difficult season for Pacific cod fishermen in Alaska. The cut to Pacific cod quota has forced some fishermen to think about how they'll make up for any lost income. KMXC stopped by the harbor in the city of Kodiak to speak with fisherman Frank Miles aboard one of his vessels. He talked about what kind of catch he pulls in and how the cut to peak cod is affecting him.
Our directive species is Pacific cod. But we also, because of that fishery, we're allowed to keep bycatch to certain limits. Like octopus is 20% of our directed catch. If I catch 10,000 pounds of cod, I get 2,000 pounds of octopus. Pollock, we're at 20%. We never reach that because we just, pollock are in a different area. But we do occasionally get those. Rockfish, we do on a rare occasion get 40, 50 pounds of rockfish a trip, but we're allowed to keep 5% aggregate weight, which is, aggregate is a combination of all your different rockfish species. So we get 5% of our directed catch there. And whatever we can sell, we bring in. You know, that's allowed.
And that's all pot.
And that's with pots, yeah. Now with long lining, so we're looking for, our directed species, depending on what time of year it is, because we direct fish for pot cod or for peacod, we direct fish for halibut and sable fish. And the bycatches in those fisheries are different. So now when we're targeting Pacific cod with long line, we don't catch octopus because they don't get stuck on the hooks. But in pot cod, it's different. The octopus go in the pot to eat the cod. But so primarily what we get We'll get rockfish, we'll get pollock, and peacod. The peacod is a challenge. I've tried it with longline gear in 2018, and we're actively fishing potcod right now. We're just waiting weather right now, and it's a struggle. You know, the price is up 15 cents a pound this year, but it's not enough. They could be paying me $1.50 and we'd still be losing money, but we do it in the hopes that it's going to change. If you're not out there, you won't see when things do change. But right now, the 80% decline in our stocks, I think, was fair, and it needed to happen, and we may have to look at it at the end of the year. And if it keeps up like this, I don't know. I'd hate to suggest no season, but in my opinion, by what I'm seeing, we need to take a hard look at that.
What are you doing to kind of make up for the loss in income that comes from kind of a bad fishing season for peacod?
Yeah, well, for us personally, we've just reached out with contacts in the guys that own IFQs, and we've been able to pick up a fair bit of IFQs, which has definitely helped subsidize. But our boat also tenders salmon for a company. Both of my boats tender, which... that helps, having that. Diversification is the key to getting by. If you're not diversified, you're doing something wrong. We do on this boat anyways. We have enough contacts. I've been around long enough to where this boat is capped out on the maximum amount of halibut. So the only thing we're trying to do right now is take on more black cod, which could definitely fill a big void with no peacod. And, black cod, fetches somewhere between $9 and $10 a pound versus Pacific cod, we're getting 50 cents. But on a normal year, we get paid 30 cents. But, Pacific cod tend to be more of a domestic fish. Black cod tends to be more exported product to Japan.
You said before that the price has gone up a little bit on the market for peacod. Why is that?
Well, I think it's a simple supply and demand. You take out, I don't know what the total drop of 80% is, must be 30 million pounds anyways, if you combine that between the trawl sector, jig, longline, pot guys, net loss to this town is probably 30 million pounds. I'm just throwing a crazy number out there, but I don't know what it actually is. But just suffice it to say, it's a large number that, that product will not be filtering through these plants. Process workers will not get the hours to process that. The tax base here in town will not reap the benefit of fish tax dollars. It's a huge hit.
That was fisherman Frank Miles in the city of Kodiak talking about how he's handling the peacod season.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.